So, basic compulsive overeater. I'm 55 years of age. I came into recovery when I was 26. My new thing, my mates hate it when I do that. So I do it all the more now because I'm 55 and I'm going to be a rebel now for the rest of my life. My new thing is come just as I am. I'm hoping, I can't see because I've purposely not put my reading glasses on. I didn't need bloody glasses until I was 40. I've purposely not put my reading glasses on because I don't want to know for definite if one of my collars are in and one's out. Because I was born in 1969, the first child my mum had, and I'm the only girl. She went on to 18 months later have a boy, and then 10 years later have another boy. My mum should never have had children. My mum could have done Hitler's job with her eyes shut. I was not allowed to move, speak, talk, this, that. She's actually been gone. On something like the 24th of June, she'll have been gone off this earth plane for 2 years. And I'm still crippled with the demand of perfection that she laid on me all my life. I think it stopped about 10 years ago when her husband said that he was falling in love with me. And he made sure I never saw my mum again as she died with dementia. And I'm a support worker, end of life support worker. So that ripped me to shreds. And I'm going to be totally honest with you now. If I didn't have the food to fall back on, I do believe I would have took a massive overdose. So I stayed indoors and I binged for 18 months. And I arrived right at that place that it talks about in the OA 12 and 12 when it says, when we relapse, oh dear, it's a lot worse than it ever was. And the demons. And normally, so if I make it to May, I'm 20 years sober and I would never touch a drink. No way. I will never have another drink in me. Like just for today, I'm saying. But if I didn't have that food in 2016, in 2014, sorry, and then again in 2016 when my mum's husband assaulted me because he thought I was going to tell her what he'd said, which I was never going to say. She'd been with him since I was 10. It's I just it's anyway. So I've been military trained to be perfect. I'm not looking at my collars. I hope one is one in and one out, because this is who I am. I've got no bra on. I'm not telling you anything else. I've got shirt and a jumper on that I've had for 3 years. 3 years. I am wearing a jumper that I've had on for 3 days. I haven't had a shower because you can't make me have one, and I haven't brushed my teeth. And the reason I'm telling you that is things have gotten so bad in recovery that I've remembered everything back to about 2 years old. And I started compulsively overeating or collecting biscuits when I was five. And I'd sneak downstairs and I'd get a chair and I'd drag it into the kitchen quietly because the monster, my mother, was right above the kitchen. And I'd climb on this chair to climb in a three-doored cupboard to get the biscuits out of the top cupboard. And they used to be in a biscuit tin and it had rice in the lid and it was the willow pattern. I could remember it as if it were 2 minutes ago. And I used to cuddle this tin into my chest and prise this lid off like a ninja so she didn't hear it above because I was petrified of this female that gave birth to me. And I'd only ever take two chocolate digestives. Because we weren't allowed to have three. I mean, when I grew up, I realised that my mum would walk all the way into town to save a penny. And I mean this, 1 pence off a loaf. I'm going to cry now. She'd walk all the way into town because my dad was too busy squirreling his money away to have his drinks on Friday night at Trades Club on his own without her. So I'm glad I didn't use to take three biscuits because I'd have left her short of money. But I didn't eat them. They used to go under my mattress like a little mouse. I had to have them and I'd nibble them and then I put them back. And I can tell you now that those biscuits feel like God to me now because I know that they were my comfort. They were my backbone. They were everything to me. until I started collecting teddy bears, which I've now got a house full, and he's my hero is Stitch. So like I know I'm going to keep going backwards and forwards because it's really complicated. I've got post-traumatic stress disorder. I were born and my mum were being subjected to violence of every description. My natural dad took his hand to me at the age of two, and thank God my mum picked me and my little brother up. She walked out. And then a guy came round to pay his catalogue and he saw this woman with two carpet crawlers. Well, our Robert were a carpet crawler. I were walking and talking from age of one, which probably don't surprise anyone that knows me. Mum said, "Yeah, you've not bloody shut up since." So this guy turned up and he adopted me and my brother when I were five. But nobody knew on the outside that this family were riddled through with incest. And while he built us a new house, we had to stay with family members. And I was in their beds, and I was a fresh piece of meat. So I was sexually abused at five by one cousin, 11 by another, 24, raped, locked in a room and raped at 24, sexually abused at 14 by someone else. So I'm walking through all this now, doing another really thorough inventory, sober, clean, and abstinent. And it's fucking scary. I'm sorry for swearing. It's really scary. I've also had to go to Al-Anon to deal with all the AA members and my dad and everybody else that's sniffed a bottle of drink or been married to an alcoholic because they all seem to just come out of the woodwork at me. So I was five, then I was 11, terrified of school, severely dyslexic. Nobody knew because my mum demanded perfection. So I had to read, write, spell, talk perfectly. But inside I was absolute mess. Absolute mess. I was so scared inside. But the outside, I was like a nice maiden. And I stayed that like that right up to my mum left when I was 14. She'd had an affair for 4 years and buggered off with this new guy, the one that told me he was in love with me like in 2014. And I stayed with my adopted dad, much to my mum's disgust. And I remember my favourite day at week was when he came home with shopping. We went food shopping. Oh my God. He used to have this big like metal cage, and he used to put it back at very practical. I'm very much like my adopted dad, not very little like my mum. But I think he won me an idol from day I met him because he tells me I went running off down the street at 2 year old saying, "Can I come with you, Dave? Can I come with you, Dave? What's that, Dave? What's this, Dave?" I think he actually fell in love with me, if we're going to be honest. I was only two. I must have been well cute. I'm not now, like, but he used to come home without shopping, and I'd ordered a Vesta's curry. It were all dehydrated, so you had to put water on it, and it were like an army rationing pack, which I then later found out about because I went in army and my ex-husband's army and blah, blah, blah. But I used to be so excited watching that food coming in. My eyes are going big, and if you can see, I'm like, "Oh, shopping's here!" And then the shit hit the fan when I started a paper round because I then start stealing people's bottles of milk so I can have a huge bowl of cornflakes when I get in before my dad gets up so he won't know. And then I pretend I ain't had anything to eat. And then I go to school and then I leave school and then I start working. And oh my God, my eating disorder went off like a rocket. I've got as much money, £26 a week I used to get. I was 16. That were a lot of money. It bought a lot of food, but I also started an obsession of buying shoes because I worked in a shoe shop. So I had every pair of shoes, trainers you can think of, and as much food as I could shove down my neck. And I remember I used to overeat on bags of grapes, and there were real grapes in them days, you know, the one that look and taste like fruit. So I binge my face off on a, because I'm not going to put weight on eating a bag of grapes, am I? So that's what I did. Can't think, brain's just gone dead. So I worked in a shop. I then wanted to go in. I wanted to go in army as soon as I left school. I wanted to leave home. I wanted to be dressed in green, and I were a sprinter, and that just ticked all my boxes. But I got to Guildford, And I had a verruca on my foot, and how very dare they medically discharged me and sent me home. And bloody verruca were that big because I'd been picking it, you know, like you do. I like picking bogies, scabs, snot, the lot. And I picked it, so it had multiplied. They sent me home. I was then involved with a very violent 6'8" man. There's a lovely scar down my face there where he knocked me out. And he were an inch taller than Dolph Lundgren, the guy on the Rocky Balboa, and I'm a couple of inches taller than Stallone, I think. And I never let that man hit me and stayed down. Never. I used to hit the wall, exactly the same as the Rocky III. And somebody says to Mickey, his trainer, "What's happening?" He said, "He's getting angry." And I used to hit the floor and the wall, and I used to go, I'll go back at him. He only had to put his hand on me, and I couldn't reach him, but my feet could reach him. I used to kick the shit out of his legs, which he told the pharmacy when I'd done when he'd smashed my face in. My face were literally out here, and the guy's moaning about notches on his shin, so we were told, "Get out or I'll have you arrested." So while all this stuff's going on, I'm binging, and I never had to, because of my sexual abuse, I believe this is why I could never be anorexic, because I want to eat, and I just couldn't make myself sick, because for me to be sick is to be out of control. So because I couldn't cope with being out of control because of the things I couldn't control when I was younger, couldn't make myself. I've even tried. I swear to God, I won't lie to any of you. I don't lie anyway, but I've actually done a handstand and tried to ram my fingers down my throat to make myself sick, to get rid of the food so I could eat again, and I can't be sick. It's like there's a one-way door and it goes down, it won't come back. So can't do that. Can't do anorexia either. I'm not sure I'd even want to, because, you know, yeah, it's just I just I know I can't. Plus I like eating too much anyway, so. So if I skip, because I'm looking at time, if I skip through, so I can swear to God my food were there every day. Eyes were open, mouth were open, straight downstairs. If I were in bed with somebody, I used to slither off the mattress silently and slither across the floor and run out the bedroom down to the kitchen. And what is it, that song? You can always see me at parties in the kitchen or something. I were like that. And then I go out one night. I'm absolutely off my nut on lager and cider, and I'm meeting my future husband. We go home. You know what happens? Tried to sneak out the morning after, and he caught me and insisted on walking me home. And he's in my dad's village. I'm like, no, I can't be seen with somebody. My dad'll know what I've been doing. But he walked me back anyway, and then he asked me to marry him. And I thought, well, he ain't beat me up. He's not raped me. He's got some money. Why not? Go on then. And I were working in Morrison's, and I didn't like it. And I'm sat in Morrison's car park now, a supermarket. But I hate working in there. I'll marry him, and then I don't have to work there anymore, do I? Looking back on this from my step 11, my God moved me 300 miles away from all my family. If only somebody really wise had took me to one side and said, "Tracy, God is telling you need 300 miles space between everyone you're related to all the time." Me like, I would have probably been a professor now.
5 minute
But
warning.
I kept going back. So I got down here. I'm still in Devon. I got down here, and the husband went to work on a Monday, and he used to stay at work Monday night, Tuesday, and come back Tuesday tea time. I went into town with the girls, all the army women that talked about wash powder and washing up liquid, and I had no in common with them and no kids, scared stiff, but I were on my own. And I went to Marks and Spencer's and I bought my last binge, as in before away, and I bought sandwiches and I had a picnic on the carpet, and I bought this bloody cake, and it had apricot puree on it. It were revolting. It were a slab cake and it were disgusting. And I kept eating it and then going, bleh! And then I kept eating it, bleh! Like spitting it out, not being sick, so I can't be sick. You know, I ended up, I got on my hands and knees, and I had to crawl up five stairs to a landing. And what I love, this is my favorite bit of my story. I had an American telephone, the ones with a massive flex, but I had to like reach up and knock it off at wall this day. And I rang away, and that was 1996. Now, at that point, there was nothing happening around me. I was in a home with a husband, a dog, money, three bedroom house. There was nothing happening. I was petrified 24 hours a day. And what's happened to me through doing these steps is there is nothing happening on inside, but stuff's happening on the outside. And through these steps, I have been given every single tool. I've got an O level in woodwork. I'm very methodical. I'm very practical. Looks like I'm autistic. I found out through one of these meetings that talk about neuro something. I don't know how to pronounce the rest of it. Looks like I'm autistic. And I was just watching myself having my breakfast, and I look like the Rain Man. Way I pick everything up and I position it and do this and do that. I've been away from meetings a while. I came back last November the 7th. I got abstinence the 8th, and I've been abstinent ever since. Only because I've got the steps. Somebody to You don't go up the steps, they go down inside you. And am I glad? When I'm off my program, my Just For Today card is always working on my behalf. My For Today is my favourite book. If I'd got it here, I could show you. It drank a cup of tea once. It's in a right old state. It's 29 years old. But today I'm clean, I'm sober, I'm abstinent. I'm really scared because I've got no to hide behind. I even tried smoking for a month. You know those little tins of Amlet cigars, the blue, and I thought I'd puff on them. What am I doing? Bloody smoking my mouth from dried leaves. What am I doing? I'm insane. That's what I'm doing. I'm insane. And someone from America sent me an adult pacifier, so I sucked on that for about so many months until I was too embarrassed. Nothing that comes across my path now. I have got every tool for every problem. The only problem is me that's talking, because I choose the wrong tool sometimes. I choose this tool, and this is a tool. I'm a right tool. But if I stop, and I mean this with all my heart, I could talk for Europe. I've got a lot of years in me. If I stop for 2 seconds, I'm going to cry. If I just stop what I'm doing for 2 seconds, it's enough time for God to get around me and overtake me and get in front of me. 2 seconds. If I just hang back and wait 2 seconds and ask God what to do, everything that I ever need appears right in front of me. I'm 29 years in recovery, so don't expect this to happen in 6 months. But there is nothing that has ever walked across my path that has not got the solution in this fellowship. And I mean that with all my heart. And I'm starting to cry, and I can see time, and I feel that I'm going to have a fit. So I'm going to shut up. And if you want to know anything else, somebody will let you know my number. And thanks for listening. I'm sorry if it were all over and I've made you all feel seasick, but I am a bit nervous this morning because I've got a lot on my plate. I've got no cooker at home, so I'm having to spend money I ain't got having breakfast in Morrison's. I'm just saying to God, you better be serious when you say you're going to look after me. I'm
Five-second
threatening God
warning.
now. There you go. Thank you.